We are so blessed. I want to take some time today and revisit our scripture passage. You know, there's a lot going on there. I think the most typical thing we would do in preaching is talk about loaves and fishes. It's something we certainly go to a lot looking at this passage, but I just want to take the story as a whole, all 21 verses, and look at the progression of insight that's going on here. It covers a lot of ground, and I think it's instructive about the way people encounter Jesus and the ways maybe you're encountering Jesus right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your calling to us is firm. You tell us the only way to find our purpose is to come to Jesus. And the only way to find joy is to find our purpose. And so we pray that in this unfolding revelation, these layers of insight, you'll not only locate us where we are, but show us our proximity to where we need to be with Jesus this morning. In his precious name, come Holy Spirit, and deliver this word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to confess, you know, I've been keeping up with The Chosen, and I've referenced that from the pulpit before, and many of you know that, and it has come to color some of my insights into Scripture. I hope I don't ever start preaching on The Chosen, but it does, you know, unfold, it unlocks personalities in the Scripture, and it sort of delves into that. It's fiction, but it poses a question about each person associated with Jesus and says, what if they were this way, or what if their personality was such? And then their relationships together, it's just a beautiful unfolding, helps add layers to your understanding. But it helped me think about layers of insight into who Jesus is. Because each one of those disciples has, in the fictional account there, a different relationship to Jesus based on how they perceived him and what they were like, you know. We look at this scripture here today, I want to point out there are many different layers to what's happening with Jesus here. So yes, he does feed a crowd quite miraculously, right, with loaves and fishes. He does. He's there because he's been doing healings and miracles. He later sort of flees the area, as he often did, to get away from the crush of the crowds, and winds up walking on water. All of that is what I want to talk to you about as a whole today. Verse 2 says a large crowd was following him, and it tells you why. Why were they following Jesus? Because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Does that say that up there? All right. So we kind of miss that sometimes, right? They followed Jesus because they were there, in a sense, for the show, maybe. But on this particular level, I want to point out the fact that they were there because he was healing people. We could get into the sensational, and we will in a minute. But for right now, let's say he was healing people. And you know what? I've got that rheumatism. I want to get near Jesus because there's something that I've needed healed for a long time. I want to get talk these warts off my knee. I want to see. I want to be able to get on my knees. I want to be able to leap and jump. I want to be, you know. There's a level of knowing about Jesus and hearing about, and I'm beginning to get this sense in the world that people can't look to the church and get a clear sense of anything about Jesus, because we're always so offended, hurt, judgmental, pointy-fingered. People can't look with an honest eye at the church, and then there's the you got the Pentecostals, and you got the dispensationalists and the cessationists, you got the Arminians and the, you know, my goodness, no wonder we don't have time for the lost. They look at us and they can't get answers for anything, but they get that Jesus, somehow, sometimes people give credit for healing them. And so I think largely out of just a sense, not maybe some sensation, but two, because, you know, I might get healed. I just might. What's it going to cost me? Lunch? Maybe they'll have concessions there. I can invest an afternoon. It says Jesus went up into a mountain. And Jesus did that often because the mountains around there were a natural amphitheater. They were a natural pulpit area to teach from. Jesus went up into the mountain ahead of the crowds with his disciples and sat down there. Now, when Jesus sat down with his disciples, it was to teach. So Jesus is going to give a teaching. And for my mind, Jesus probably had several teachings that he gave over and over and over again. I think that he had a regular stream of messages that he wanted to go into his disciples, that he wanted them to comprehend. And so he was teaching. And so here's a level where, and I'm grateful, I have a friend, he thinks he's unsaved. I think the dude's saved. He just don't know it yet. I'll argue with that one about you later, but he went to Bible study. And by saying all this on this recording, he probably knows who I'm talking about. It's fascinating to learn about Jesus, and how better than to hear from Jesus' own voice? And so many times people come and they want to hear Jesus' words so they can understand him better. And in the meantime, make up their mind. In my years of pastoral ministry, I find that many men, and see, ladies, this is no secret to you. I don't understand women. I get it wrong every day. But I kind of understand men a little bit. And I know that most of the time, guys are trying to overhear things. You remember this, ladies. Here's a good lesson for you from me. And she's going to come and show us now. Here's a good lesson about this. Okay, ladies. Most men, you treat them like, and they believe they're experts on everything. And what they'll do is they'll say, I'll do that in a minute, but first I've got to go to the bathroom. They run in the bathroom and Google it and watch a YouTube video. Kevin, I'm sorry, but I had to tell. We don't know everything. As a matter of fact, we're just constantly gleaning for information, trying to understand. And so a lot of times guys are overhearing. They're listening carefully to the parts they want to get. And they want to have an understanding without asking a question and being a fool. That's why so few men attend Bible study. They don't want to seem incompetent. But they don't quite always have things figured out. Sorry, guys. And so you got the crowd that's always overhearing Jesus. And here's where I know I have seen so many people saved in church. I have seen man after man saved by overhearing the gospel. In the silence of his own thoughts, the privacy of his own self, he comes to conclusions. He makes up his mind. He tells Jesus, I trust you. Please forgive my sins. You're my Savior. Right, guys? Mm-hmm. I was watching a movie last night. It was one of the cowboys in a posse. And he was outwardly, you know, visibly, notably, you could tell that he had faith. He wasn't a holy roller or anything. Like, he didn't say, I'm a Methodist or No, it just, you'd see him pause when he was, when they were eating chow. They made a point somewhere in the picture. You could see him over there being spiritual. But it wasn't a big part. But then there come a part where he'd been wounded and he was like the only hope. Right? And this is moment. Joy, was this movie filmed by an atheist? Written by an atheist. Okay. Point is, he kind of knows he's got a broken leg and he's the only hope, right? And so he says, Lord, now we know he's out in the open, right? Because he says, Lord. Lord, I've been praying to you my whole life for this minute right here. I need your help. And that's kind of the way it is. And so, Jesus, we want to overhear you. Teach us. And Jesus took every opportunity to teach and make his word go in. And he got so frustrated, didn't he? It must not be any sin in being frustrated because Jesus got outdone with his disciples. When are you guys ever going to get it? I say it over and over and over again. We know he wanted them to get it. And so he taught. And that's one layer. There it goes. I have missed that so much. Verse 11 then, Jesus took the loaves because he's asking this question and answering his own question. And he knows what he's going to do. And he says, we'll take these loaves. Somebody has. He gives thanks. He distributes them. They go and pass out loaves and fish. Now, this is different than healing people. This is a miracle. There are miracles of healing, and then there's the miraculous. There are the things God does supernaturally, setting aside the laws of nature as they were, or bringing them into an alignment in such a way as to do something clearly outside of the normal. And so we have a miracle. And Jesus as a miracle worker. Now this will get your stomach full. This is outstanding and amazing. This is what you paid to come and see. This is worth repeating. And Jesus does the miracle. Miracles draw crowds. There are monuments and places all over the world where the Roman Catholic Church has established, you know, presence there and made icons where certain miracles they claim have been verified, and people make pilgrimages. There's a staircase, you know, I think in Italy, supposed to be the stairs that Jesus had to climb up to see Pilate. They preserve those. I think you can't even get on them. You have to crawl on your knees. Miracles. People are gratified on some base level by sensation and things we can't understand. The human mind is constantly looking for correlation and causation and looking for ways to associate. And we often say we don't believe in coincidence. And that's because the mind is constantly trying to eliminate coincidental things. And then there are the miracles. How do you do that? I watch those magicians on TV and I feel the same way. How do you do that? I want to write it down. And so often in the church, we have people who only know Jesus as somebody who can, they're seekers after the extraordinary, right? Tickle my fancy. Give me a show, Jesus. And even others who say, well, let's just watch closely. How do you do that? So let's see. We need some mud. That is basically for those of you who are uneducated. some kind of soil with some spit. You need soil and you need spit. And you stick it in their ears or on their eyes and you say some mumbo jumbo and out pops a mirror. How do you do that? Christ's miracles drew many people who were not drawn to Him. Miracles are a wonderful way of getting people's attention and drawing their awareness into the supernatural, but it's always a drawing eventually that can end with just the substance of the supernatural, but not Jesus. People were gratified by seeing some miracles done. And I have to admit, I'd be pretty gratified too. There are miracles I want to see, right? And I got a list of some. Yes, sir, if Jesus would just listen to me and get my list, He'd make one happy camper out of me. But then I would have captured me a genie in a bottle. And Jesus is no genie in a bottle. Every day as He walked past hundreds and hundreds of people, so many went unhealed. So many went without a miracle that probably you'd have to say it was the irregular occurrence that a miracle happened at all. But when they did, water changed into wine, right? Bread and fishes were multiplied. And how many congregations have not had their private joke about how God multiplied the casserole at the dinner last week? We know. It's sort of an unspoken and uncomfortable aspect of knowing Jesus. It's expecting or looking for the miraculous. Verse 14, when the people saw what He had done, they felt like this was indeed the prophet who was to come. You see, in Deuteronomy, God said, I will call forth from among you, Deuteronomy 18:15, I'll bring someone from among you who will deliver my words to you. And they were looking for a prophet, a redeemer man, a guy who especially knew the words of God. It's possible for people to acknowledge Christ in this way today. That He was a great prophet. A prophet sent from God. And how close that comes to Him. How much that might fit in one aspect of who Jesus is today. But is that the only way you know Jesus today? Is your business advisor? Man, I'll tell you what. I heard a prophecy. Now, I'm harsh on prophecy. I got wacko friends who are on Facebook who are always giving prophecies. But they're only about half right. To listen to them, you'd think the Holy Spirit almost can carry off something. But He can't quite get it. Well, I want to tell you, if somebody delivers a prophecy from God, it is 100% true. And if it doesn't happen that way, God didn't say it. But I heard a prophecy this past week. And I had no criticism. And it was real. And so God raises up prophets. And He speaks to them. And they speak to the church. And that's one avenue of approach for knowing Jesus, is to hear something that is so convincing and so profound. And I saw people respond to this prophecy and said, well, that tears it for me. I believe it. Jesus is God. Okay. And so this prophecy, just so you know a little more, is given 4 months ago about something that happened within the last few weeks. Very specific. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they said, this is the prophet we've been waiting on. And so we're watching today, aren't we, for a prophet who's to come into the world. Because the prophet who was to come was going to deliver them and He could feed them. And guess what? Jesus just fed them. They could become an army. They could become a people, a populace. whose bellies were always full. All he'd have to do is pick up some grass and make some hamburgers, skip the cow part. Wait a minute, they do that, don't they? It's called a, what is it, burger? Yeah. Then, because of this, he perceives they're about to do something, right? They're going to rise up. They're going to rise up and call him king. They're going to make him king. They're going to take him and make him a king. They're going to force his hand. Because the prophet king, again, a deliverer, very close, very, very near what Jesus' function in the whole scheme of the kingdom is, but not quite. And we still today want to make Jesus some kind of human king. We've always got to baptize every president. Scumbags that they are. You don't use a pulpit to do that, do you, Jim? Okay, take that back. We'll cut that right there. We don't need to baptize our presidents in order to vote for them. We don't need to remove the stigma of what their lives have been in order to say, here's a politician I can trust. And yet the church is constantly trying to do just that. Sort of excuse itself in a way. But I don't know if there was ever a president deserving of that kind of vote from me. There's great danger in taking someone, seizing them, and making them to be God's king. And certainly no human on earth can fit that bill. Vote with your eyes open. And I always like to say, ballots, not bullets. Vote and vote often. Okay, that's enough of that. Y'all aren't laughing. It must be late. I must have went on vacation. Whew! Okay. Then, it's all over. It's all over. Jesus sends his disciples. The scriptures say, they're several miles out. I love this. Now, see, to the Holy Spirit who inspired this word, it wasn't important whether it was 2 miles or 3 miles. So, there's some miles out. What was important? Jesus came walking on the water. Moses was a lawgiver and a prophet. There were others. But you know what? Moses had to move the water out of the way. Jesus comes walking on the water. And not just for a brief show. He comes for miles. And these disciples then in this stormy water, in this boat, they see Jesus as he is. He is God who can set aside the laws of nature, who comes to us wherever we are. This is the God who becomes personal to us in Jesus Christ. I'll just cut the sermon short right there. That's enough. But I sure could say a lot more. So I guess I would do this with the sermon. I'd say, where are you in these levels and layers of understanding about Jesus, and where do you need to get to? And guys, if you're still in the assimilation stage and gathering info, where are you on this? Because for me, Jesus is my Savior. He is God. That's important because on Facebook, people forget Jesus is God. They make him out to be some kind of buddy. But Jesus is deity. He is God the Father. He is one with the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They don't act independently. Or do they think separately about issues? Where are you in these layers of relationship to Jesus this morning? Let's just take a minute. Think about and consider this. If you came with business at the altar today, that's what this time is for. If you still need Jesus as a Savior today and you don't even know what that's about, raise your hand. Come down here. I'll pray with you. But otherwise, this time is for people who actually have business with the Lord at this space. So just take a minute.